Hello there, and welcome to Let's Dig Into That. Holy moly, we seriously hope you packed a snack because today, JT and I plan to open the gate on one hell of a conversation. When you're born with a call to serve, a young activist activated by the personal obligation of we, the people, what happens when the exhilaration of resistance takes its toll? The exhaustion of living the fight for what's right? Who helps the helpers? How can we give a shit and not give ourselves shingles? Today, Let's Dig Into That welcomes a born activist, an arts-loving, wine-sipping vigilante of justice. Both attorney and professor, I swear she's a direct descendant of Atticus Finch. Founding her own law firm in Washington, D.C. in 2019, our guest is one of the nation's leading experts on vaccine injury litigation with more than 20 years of experience. She's the director of the Vaccine Litigation Clinic at the George Washington University Law School, inspiring students as a distinguished lecturer, having taught disability rights law and the healthcare component of the Systemic Racism Reading Group. This talented love ninja has served on the Board of Governors for the U.S. Court of Federal Claims Bar Association, as president of the Vaccine Injured Petitioners Bar, and is a member of the American Association for Justice. She's the 2020 recipient of the court's Golden Eagle Award. In March of 24, she testified before Congress in the House Committee on Government Oversight. She's been featured in the New York Times, Bloomberg Law, Politico, and NBC News, just to name a few. She's a tireless advocate, a model of hard work, relentless passion, and JT and I are convinced she must be exhausted. Renee J. Gentry Esquire is here to walk us through reconnecting and recharging when the world lets you down. She'll share insights on how to reclaim your power and enlighten us on what it means to have a constitution of self. Should I find myself in a one phone call from jail situation? Oh yeah, I'm calling Renee. She's the up for anything, glass half full, crank the music. When it's time to bail some fucking water to unify, my team captain is RJG.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Let's Dig Into That podcast. We have an extremely special show for you. Welcome to the show, Renee J. How are you doing today, Renee?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
It's so wonderful to have you. I mean, NBC News, Politico, New York Times, now us.
Yeah, there's the lineup.
This is going to be much more fun, I guarantee.
Yes, there's got to be some perk to family, right?
That's right. I'm going to claim her. Yes. I am fortunate enough to have invited Renee because we are first cousins.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Our badass mamas are sisters.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be just to set a tone. And I have the opportunity with Renee as a cousin to go back. And my mom recapped a story of picking up young Renee from school. So kindergarten, is that right for you, Renee? Thinking Patty picked you up?
Kindergarten, yeah.
Okay. And so in my mind, Renee did rock a briefcase. And had probably a cute little turtleneck on. And so she gets into the car, slides into that seatbelt, and she is riddled with despair is how it was described to me. This is family lore at this point. Riddled with despair. And so my mom checks in on her like, Renee, did you have a tough day? What's going on? She said, just worried about world peace. And beside herself. And so that is the type of woman that cares that we're with today.
I liked the way you worded it in the intro. So I'm going to jump straight into it. She said, activate the activist. I'm curious when you knew you were called to serve.
Was it before the age of five?
Right. Yeah. That sounds about right. I mean, certainly I knew from a very early age that I was a big feeler, had all the feelings. I took everything personally, but the first, I think earliest one that I remember was watching the Jerry's Kids telethon back in the day. And, you know, they'd had other experiences of coming home and my mom finding me as riddled with despair and crying inconsolably because I'd learned about Harriet Tubman and why are people mean to each other and things like that. And she's like, we're talking about slavery. I can't help you with slavery right now, you know. But I was home as a kid. Yeah, I was like seven and home watching the Jerry's Kids telethon. And my mom was a single mom at the time and working a really hard job. And we didn't have a lot of money, but she walked back into the room and I was on the phone with the telethon, pledging $20 and challenging the entire second grade to meet
Yeah.
that challenge. And she's like, whoa, we don't have that $20, but we did it. And then she said, you know, there's a way to do that and there's other ways to do that. And then that subsequently led to me apparently, which I had no memory of, and was told by another cousin by my mom that I had applied for credit cards because I knew my social security number and I had written in, I had the address, and I got she intercepted two credit cards. And when she asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, it said you could pay cash or credit card, check or credit card, and you said we don't have cash, so I thought this would be the thing and we could just donate to charity this way.
Taking that off
And
your
she was like,
hands.
that is, yeah, she goes, nah, that's not exactly how that works. But yeah,
Oh
intercepted
so
credit cards.
off.
Also,
Beat
what
that.
bank gave a 7-year-old a credit card is what I want to know. But there you go. I had
Couple
time
of
for that.
them. You
Yeah,
had
a
it
couple of
down.
them. Yeah, I was like, oh, I got this figured out. Yeah, we got this.
Different time.
Yeah, but that was it. And it was just a matter of, you know, if you could do, and we were also raised, and Jordan knows this, you were raised to be a good neighbor. That was a very strong thing as a kid. And so it was like, you help people if you can help, help.
And I
But
love
like,
that you challenged the
it's like your,
class.
yeah, like, get up. What are you doing?
I'm standing up, rise up right
Yeah.
here. Well, you and I've chatted, and you're like, Jordan, I took We the People as a personal obligation. And I'm like, oh
Yeah.
shit, what have I been doing with my life? And so, can you tell me about, yeah, like, I guess
Sure.
kind of
Schoolhouse Rock was
that.
real for me. Schoolhouse Rock, America Rock was real for me. Like this is, you know, people sacrifice, and we the people means you're a part of it. Like I guess I was just had this certain kind of naivete at the time of being that young of taking that in, and it just became part of the fiber of me where I was like, no, you have to do this. I campaigned for, you know, candidates when I was, you know, junior high school. If I could walk and get dropped off in little towns in the heat of Missouri, you know, on the black asphalt, walking door to door talking about candidates. And I watched all the, you know, the political conventions, and I listened to the speeches, and it was like a very important thing to me that you had to be community, and civics was real. Like the We the People was real. It wasn't us and them then. I mean, there was some of that, but it was, we're all a part of this and we all have to work together to get things done. And so, yeah, I did take that very personally.
I love
I
it.
did.
I love it. And so
My
how
poor mother, now you know, this is what she did. But
so
also, I will say, I credit her too in some things because she would, you know, again, she worked and she would get home and she would start to cook dinner. And I was always underfoot. I was the youngest. And so she would say, go watch the news. And at dinner, tell me what's going on in the world. And so I would sit and watch the nightly news, and we would always watch 60 Minutes every Sunday. It was like a religion for
yes.
us with 60 Minutes. And my sister joked that my two favorite shows on the weekend were Bugs Bunny and This Week with David Brinkley, because I would watch the news shows like a very young kid. And then I would have to tell her what was going on at dinner. So I'd tell the whole table, like, this is what's happening in the world. Thus, the Middle East. And I'm like, I'm really worried about world peace, and I don't think they're going to figure it out in the Middle East. And turns out I was right about everything.
You
Yeah.
were tasked with translating. Yeah.
Translating it, yeah.
So you must be exhausted. It's a lot. That's a big to carry the world on your shoulders like that. Like,
For a lifetime.
yeah.
For a
How,
lifetime, it is, yeah.
and that's what I want to know is like, how do you give a shit and not give yourself shingles? Because you wake up and you're like, oh, world let me down again. Like, where does this motivation, like, we see the drive, but I'm like, how do you keep this ship going?
Yeah, I am exhausted a lot, and I think you know, that's the real of it. I think you have to find your own toolbox, and everybody's different. You know, we talk about I teach at GW, and one of the things that the students have that I never got when I was in law school, because they didn't talk about it then, was they get training on vicarious trauma, and especially as a lawyer, that you're surrounded when you're constantly surrounded by trauma. And you absorb that in, how do you deal with that? And I think you come up with your own toolbox as you go. And as for me, doing things, doing acts of service, helping people makes me feel calmer, even though it can be exhausting. But there are times when you have to check out. There are times when you need to, you know, as Brené Brown would say, you know, like you got to numb with some TV binge watching, or just check out completely and turn it off. And I think, you know, one of the things, I saw this great analogy that they were talking about on, I think it's on Instagram somewhere, and they were talking about a choral piece, a choral music piece. And have you ever wondered how a choir can sustain a note for that long? And it's because members drop in and out, and they, you drop back, take a breath, and then you can go back into the fight. And I think one of the hardest things when you are that person of, what we joke about, Melissa McCarthy, like the fists of justice, when you are that person that's always activated, you feel a guilt when you step back, like I'm not helping right now, and what's going on, and there are people that are worse off than me. But you can't, you have to learn to work around that, and you have to be able to step back and say, I'm just taking a breath right now. And the, one of the simplest things that we've all heard a million times, if you've traveled, is there's a reason why they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first on a plane before you
Preach.
help somebody else. Because if you're not taken care of, you can't take care of anybody else. And even if you want to put your arms around the whole world, sometimes you can't. And so you have to kind of step back. And so I've developed my own toolbox over the years of things that I do. Some of it's very passive. Recently become very enamored with the breathing app on my Apple Watch, where if I have like a stressful meeting that's coming up, just taking a minute in silence, because I like a lot of noise around me. I don't usually like to exist in silence, but taking a minute in silence has allowed me to get through, like status conferences with the court that would be super intense, where I do have a Templeton temper, as we know, like family temper. And it's like, keep that down here.
That's powerful.
Or some of them be more active. For me, music has always been a motivator. I have playlists because I'm very solidly Gen X, and we are the creator of the mixtape, and we
mixtape.
have mixtapes for every mood. Yeah, I have, because of the recent election, I have a vigilante shit playlist that is represents
Vigilante shit playlist.
Taylor Swift song, but as you know, there's a whole lot of Pink on it. There's like things like that, like people that motivate you. I have
That's the
road
bail
trip
some
playlists.
fucking
I have everything.
water
It's like whatever
playlist.
it means, right? Like the bail the fucking water playlist. Like things that'll get you when you're like, okay, now I just need. And then I also have one that's like, I need to take a vacation and I need to step back and not have serious things and not have anything like that. And I need to watch, she said, we need to watch, what is the show? NCIS. I just need to watch Mark Harmon and know that everything's going to be okay
Mark's
by
on
the
it.
end of this everything. He's
Mark
on it.
on
He's got
it. We're
everything. He's going to
fine,
take care of me.
everybody.
I love procedurals. Like, I love that those moments, or like a Hallmark movie, because you know what's going to happen.
Renee, I'm curious, like this civic obligation, like what you're describing and needing to turn off from it. I'm perplexed that you're also a teacher. How can you, do you have to stymie some of that, like I need to go get it in that activist energy when you're teaching, or is that something that you include in your teaching?
It's absolutely something I include in my teaching. And I'm in the clinics. We're in the clinics program, which is what we call social justice lawyering. So, when you're coming into the clinics like that, there's I teach the vaccine injury litigation clinic, but there's a human rights law clinic, there's an immigration clinic, there's a domestic violence clinic, access to justice clinic, all of these things. And so the people in that building, they know that, what you're doing. But also, I think you're a better teacher when you do express your authentic self and when you are who you are. Like students read that, you've both been in school, when you've got a teacher that's just like standing up there, that's that you don't know anything about them and they're just opaque and like, this person wears this color tie on Wednesday, but other than that, I don't know anything about them. I think especially in what I do in teaching litigation and teaching lawyers, when what we do, my whole spring semester of my clinic is on storytelling. The story of you and the story of the client. Lawyering is storytelling. And so you can't tell stories without, you can't connect with people if you're not authentic and your whole self. And, I have, as you see RBG behind me here, I have RBG quotes in my office. I have things that are important to me and that matter to me in my office at the law school. And the students can see that because I want them to feel comfortable coming to me if they need to. I also am a huge believer in mentorship. Mentoring is critically important, and you don't get that a lot in the law. You might have an assigned mentor, but you don't get it all the time. And I think being that with your student is a huge thing. So,
Wow, what an opportunity.
One more element of something that's pulling on your empathy and your compassion. Like it baffles me that you're able to sort of unplug from some of these things because I struggle with that.
In the
Yeah.
jobs that I have, I'm in the political landscape, I'm in child abuse.
Yeah.
If I don't take my 2 days to not think about those two things, I'm a mess. And so I can't
It's,
imagine also teaching.
yeah, I mean, I've gotten better now as I've studied and I've done research and I'm putting more of a professional toolbox together. Before, like I was saying earlier, I'm like, you kind of come up with your own things. And back in my old law firm, I had a rule that was no crying moms on Fridays. And
That makes
because all of my
sense.
clients were, they're Catholic, and my other lawyers would kind of make fun of it and they thought it was funny and different things like that. But the people that absolutely got it were the moms. And I'm
Vicarious
like, you
trauma.
need vicarious trauma. And I was like, I need 2 days to disconnect from you because if I'm crying all weekend, I'm not going to be able to recharge. And that's not the headspace you want me. And I'm like, you want me pissed off. You don't want me crying. And it's like, it's kind of a thing. Like, I cry with my clients all the time. They're telling me, and I just said this to, my students the other day. I'm like, we lawyers are meeting people at their absolute worst moment generally. And so it's a lot. It's why our profession has one of the highest rates of suicide and alcoholism. It's why, all these things. So you've got to take care of yourself. And the profession's finally coming around to deal with that. But I will say there, I like the weight of the responsibility. I like that. And I've enjoyed that. I enjoy that part of it. And JT, I know you work with kids. When you have a moment where that kid feels seen and it's because of you, and it's like the light shines on someone for the first time, it's incredible. And I just got a great email from a student this week that got a job that I had recommended her for. And it was like, this amazing email. And I was like, that's going off. And one of the things I do, print that off, put it in a folder. When you're having a bad day, you can look this up and you can see, I had this stuff all over my desk when I at my other office that said, and I have them still in a folder, things like you are that get, just little comments from colleagues or from clients that can change everything. And I do look at my evaluations at the end after the grades come in to see what the students say. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that people will frequently say my clinic was their favorite part of law school. Actually doing that. So like I enjoy that. Like that's a great thing. That'll give you another 3 weeks of juice right
Yeah,
there.
the weight and the
That's
magnitude
better than any
behind it, why
coffee.
you do what you do. It's huge.
Because you're also activating new activists, right? You're
Yeah.
doing that. And one of the things that I always say to the students is you're going to have to determine what kind of lawyer you want to be. And they're all different kinds of lawyers. And there are all different ways to do it. And there's no one way. But I'm like, but while you're practicing under my name in this clinic, you'll be the kind of lawyer I want you to be. And that means you're going to be professional on time and all that, but also empathetic to your client. You're going to be understanding. You're going to think critically. You're going to look beyond this step of what's happening right here and anticipate and things like that. And learn that you can also help your clients outside of just being in court. That's why we lobby on Capitol Hill. That's why we try to improve the program that our clients are seeking access in, and stuff. So, but yeah, you get a lot of juice from that.
A lot of juice.
Absolutely.
And so you have this very public self and this professor behind the podium self. And you touched on it earlier, but you're like, yes, is there a difference I'm curious about with the private RJG in those hours? And you touched on like the guilt of being able to completely know the world's going to keep on spinning and completely unplug. And so that's probably a much larger
Oh.
conversation because I'm like, that's true.
Yes.
I spend most of my time going, I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Well, again, different language, same question. S when your civic duty versus your unplugged time, when do you feel you're most authentic?
Ooh. I
Because you are.
anticipated this question, and I still it's still going. I think I'm the same person in private and in public. I think I have to be a little bit more careful, circumspect in how I speak in public because as a lawyer, I have, one of the things that, I talk to people about is like, I've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. Not every citizen does that. A lot do, a lot that serve and different things like that, but I've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, and that oath doesn't just stop when I walk out of a courtroom. Like, if I'm sitting in a restaurant, if I'm on a beach, if I'm with somebody and I know I'm a lawyer, all the time. And I think lawyers are very public citizens. But I mean, I would like to think that I'm the same person. in the realms. I'm more careful with what I say because people give my words more weight as a lawyer than they do as me. People that don't know me, I would say, give that more weight. And I can inadvertently sway people in a way that I have to be careful about. But I mean, I'm the same person. I lawyer the same way that I friend, I guess, if that makes sense, which is, you know, like it's a lot of listening and a lot of like advising and like trying to give the best advice when you don't know. And also saying, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And not being afraid of saying, I don't know the answer to that. I think a lot of lawyers get very afraid of that. You're supposed to know everything. I'm like, well, there's no way to know everything. And
Right.
so I think that's one of the things that we've lost the ability to do in this country is to say, I don't know. And, but I'll look and I'll find something out for you because we want such instantaneous results and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm the same person.
I'll
I
say
might
that.
talk louder. I might talk louder as a lawyer. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true.
That's probably true. I talk pretty loud privately
Well,
too.
that question was based on just knowing you, because when I see you at the holidays and things like that, you can talk music with the best of them. You can
It's my
talk
Motown mama.
wine with the best of them now, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
But
Oh,
if
yeah.
I haven't ever had a conversation with you in the capacity of your professional life, and being able to see you comfortable in a situation like that, and then see you balls to the wall, ready to go, you do a great job of it, and I wanted to make sure we emphasize that. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I will say, I think I get a little bit more, I can be a little bit more intense in my professional. I walked in to meet a friend for happy hour and I'd come straight from court. So I was wearing a suit and it was like my own Johnny Cash, like all black suits. And I walked in and I was like, I'll have a glass of this and I'll have this. And I was still in very much in a work mode and
Owned
he was just
it.
sitting there quietly. And I was like, what? And he goes, I've never seen you like that. He's like,
Coming
I don't know. And I'm like, don't make me be a lawyer, dude. You won't like me as a lawyer. Like that's the thing.
Well, yeah, you
I don't
testified
have
before
to.
Congress less than a year ago. Like, that's
Yeah.
a big stinking
Yeah.
deal. Yeah.
It was
Absolutely.
cool. It was cool.
It was
I
cool.
enjoyed it.
It's so
I'm
cool.
trying to like have that moment. I'm not great with praise. I'm like, I'm trying to have that moment. I'm like, yes, that was a really amazing experience. It was an amazing
Yeah, it
experience.
was. Yeah,
Oh
contact high
yeah.
over
Contact high.
here.
Yeah.
But it
It was
seems like
great. It was a great experience for my students too. And they got to be there and they got to be on the front row of it behind me. So that was a really
unbelievable.
amazing thing. Yeah. That was
That's
cool.
so
Yeah.
cool. Oh,
Go
it
ahead.
does seem like this. I feel like maybe this is a stretch, but you have like a constitution of self. You were like, this is the authentic way, and this is how I'm able to maintain this freaking hat all the time and be
Right.
consistently of service and taking care of myself at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah.
fair to say? You have kind of a, yeah, what you
Yeah, I
keep.
mean, I think so. I think you can do that. And I don't want it to seem like I'm like, I'm always on like this thing. No, there are times when I'm like, you know what? I don't have it today. I don't, I love listen. I love your guys' podcast, as you know, but when you were talking about where's your tank? How's your tank when you're
Oh, how's your
sleeping?
tank read
Like,
today?
how's your tank read today? And there are days when I'm like, you know, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to take this phone call. I'm not going to accept this client. I'm not going to do these things because that's not in my, the phrase that we use, that's not, I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. And
Right.
it's hard for me as somebody that is that, you've got a client calling in that has a severely injured child, and my heart is just like, yes, let me wrap you in my arms and fix it for you and help you. But in reality, I've learned now, and as I've matured and gotten older, and in my 50s, I can say, you know what? I don't have the time. I won't be the best person to help you because I can't do everything that you need me to do right now. So let me get you with another attorney who's going to be amazing for you and take care of you the way that you should be taken care of. And that is something that I think is a skill that you have to learn. It took time, and no joke, the shingles will do that to you when you get
Yeah.
work stress and put you down for 2 weeks. Yeah.
No kidding. And this is, speaking of, thank you for being such a generous, amazing listener, but this is the cousin with the smile meditation in the morning.
Yes.
Just, and it makes so much sense now thinking about, like, I'm going to be the empathy wagon and take in so much during the day. But
Yes.
you are the embodiment of the love
Yeah.
ninja rage pirate we're looking for.
That's true.
I'm
I
writing
am
that
going
in
to be
my
a rage pirate.
constitution.
Yeah. Oh, I will spin right up into the raid, and that's more frequently these days. But yeah, I'll spin right up into that, and people are like, "You're up here. I'm gonna need you back down here."
We
Again, because you're more effective when you're not in that. But sometimes you just have to vent, and it's not all the same. I don't want to say like every time I get stressed, I'm like, I'm gonna take a minute. and I'm gonna meditate and everything's gonna be great. No, there are times when, I mean, I took up fencing to stab people legally. Like it was, you have to vent some stuff. Like I will go to the driving range and beat the hell out of a bu bucket of golf balls, picturing somebody's face. Like
Awesome
there's whatever
self-care.
works for you. Yeah. Like whatever works
Awesome
for you in that
self-care.
moment. There's no one way. I think there's certainly no one way to deal with the kind of the resistance exhaustion, like of everything. And just stepping away from social media. But one thing that I have been learning recently is like, and I really coming into it, is connecting with people in the real world.
There's a difference.
Is making a comeback. Like it's connecting people in the real world. As one woman I heard in another podcast said, you know, we're going to change the world one crochet circle at a time. And just like we
Yeah.
go out, but
Drum
like connect with
is.
people. Like I know my next wine class is going to be in person. So I'm like, I want to go and I want to talk about things. You know, I took up woodworking at one point because you can't think about anything else when you're doing that.
The
You know,
hum
my
of a
mind will
saw.
always go back to my office because, yeah, you'll lose a finger. Like you have to be like focused when you're using power tools. Fencing was the same way. You can't be thinking about other things. Having a personal trainer when you're just giving up control is actually one of the hardest things for me to do, but it's also one of the best things for me to do because if I can just shut my brain off and have somebody just tell me, do 20 push-ups, do, you know, 100 crunches, do this, and that's all that you're doing, it's amazing. I have another friend that we're control freaks and we love to do paperwork or clean. I'm a stress cleaner. I will clean my house just because it's mindless, simple, just my roommate in law school would come home and I had everything out of the refrigerator, including the drawers and the shelves. And she was like, bad
Tough
day,
day.
bad day. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, also, please do not throw away your jalapeno jug without the lid on it. And then, you know, because I almost died. So,
Almost died. I will say you are the toughest chick I know who bruises like a freaking peach.
yeah, delicate flower, baby, delicate flower.
Delicate flower.
Renee, in this moment in time, what is your favorite way to turn your brain off and sort of recharge?
Oh, I will go down the rabbit hole on YouTube on music videos or interviews or something like that. I pick artists and I've done it my whole life.
Videos, I miss them.
I'll pick an artist and I'll go down. And I'll be like, ooh, and I will watch like every single video. I watch interviews. I love knowing the behind the scenes things. I've always loved that. So I'll do that. But the other thing, since like Christmas, the Yule Log channel. I've like
Right?
100%
I
had the Yule
should.
Log channel on, and now like it's gone. And I'm like, they're like, it's a new one, and I'm like, that just looks like the fires of hell. I'm not watching that. But like YouTube has all these things. It's like you're in a room with a fireplace and it's raining, and I will just have that on in my living room, and I'm reading, and I, you know, I'm trying to get back to things like that where it's not all, you know, if because I will get, I can just like anybody else, and like where people are texting me, oh my God, this happened, this happened, this, you know, we just had the plane crash here in DC.
Yeah.
All this stuff coming in, and you like you want to be open to that, but at the same time, you're like, nope, I would just like to listen to it rain for 3 hours, which I did the other night.
Yeah.
Like,
And not
just
get wet.
rain
Boom.
for 3 hours and not get wet, and I'm not cold. And there's
There's
that,
something
yeah.
about that contrast of looking at even a fake fireplace and it's raining outside. Like one of
Yeah.
my favorite things to do my entire life has been listening to reggae music when it's snowing. That's
Yeah.
just,
It's an amazing combination, right? You're like,
yeah,
this
it's
is
just like,
incredible.
whoa. Rastafari.
Right?
Yeah.
I play, you know, like, and I have, because music is such a thing for me, like Dolly Parton's Little Sparrow album, when it's raining and I'm on a road trip, that's the album that's on. It's the perfect album to road trip in the rain. And, you know, and that's the thing. And that's how my brain works is what music would go with this?
Yeah.
Right? And I studied music and I, you know, I used to listen to when I was writing a brief, Nina Simone's Sinner Man on a loop.
Yep.
And then I read that book, Stealing Fire, and I'm like, oh, I just basically put myself into a mantra meditation. I put myself into the flow instead of a
Little
mantra. It
Tina
was Nina
Turner.
Simone on repeat. I'm sure my law partner was like, can we please change the channel? Because I mean, it was on repeat all the time, like constant repeat. And I would be writing the brief, and that was it. And that was my fun
Find
Friday
your
movie.
rhythm. I think
Find
that's
your rhythm
like,
and go. Yeah.
yeah. You just said mantra. Will you tell us a little bit more about your morning routine and do you have a current mantra?
Ooh. I my morning routine. So I get up. I've been doing. I do the smile meditation. That's where you're still in bed. Smile for 10 minutes, and stretch.
10 whole minutes.
10 minutes. You got to smile for 10 minutes.
I'm like 90 seconds and I'm like,
But
wrap it up. That's about
it you know it works. It works
That's
because
awesome.
it's physically, there is actually science and research behind it. It's physically impossible to stay in that if you're physically smiling. It gets you in a better headspace. I do wall Pilates, like a 10-minute wall Pilates thing in the morning. And then it's usually coffee, breakfast, desk.
Nice.
So like kind of go down. I get on my bike, and I haven't been on my bike in a while, and that's February goals. We're gonna have that back on a
That's
bike.
right. February goals. We are the cousins that text our daily
Yeah,
accountability.
like our
And
daily
it has
goals
been
for
a
the,
game changer.
but
How long have we
yeah.
been doing this? 2 years?
No longer than that.
Cool.
Nashville. That was
Oh,
like
yeah. That was like
four
2018.
years, yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
It's
It's been a
amazing because
minute.
they're all like, I
Um,
do
yeah.
gratitudes and you've got, yeah, the 10
Yeah.
mile meditation.
Well,
But I have the Oh, go ahead.
you just said you take 20 to 30 minutes every morning for yourself before you get into it. That's awesome. I wish I could have a routine like that. That's, I mean, that's.
I would like it to be more routine than it is at times, you know, and there are times when I'm like, I don't, you know, I have things that like stress me out now. Like I have a friend that like, we need to set up a meeting, and it was a professional meeting, and he goes, how about breakfast, Four Seasons, 8 a.m. And I'm like, 8 a.m. You want me to be in a professional breakfast at 8 a.m.? I'm like, that seems unnatural. Or people that schedule meetings at 3 o'clock on a Friday. And I'm like, really? Because that's, I've been
Right.
taking like for the last year, like taking like half days on Friday, which half day for me is like 3:30, but taking half day on Fridays. And again, like disconnecting and checking out for that time. But you know, I don't always control my schedule as a lawyer. So sometimes that's that you got to take the call when you take the call. But I was getting back to the mantra because I have, the bracelet that actually Jordan that you got me that says keep fucking going.
Yeah.
When I'm in a super, I don't wear it all the time. I don't wear bracelets all the time because it messes with my mouse.
Delicate flower.
Delicate flower, and it messes with the mouse when I'm trying to do that. But if I'm in a super stressful time in a super stressful meeting, I have that bracelet on. And nobody else does it because it's just a silver
Aww.
band. Nobody else knows that it's in there, but it's always on, and it's like that. Just keep going through
Channeling.
that.
Aww.
But yeah, but also the I am here. I am here is a Pink lyric. It's a Pink song. It's probably my favorite song and crazy concert moment that changed my life. But
Yes.
that was it. It's I'm here because I'm here, right? Like that's it. Like you're still here.
You're
You're still
still
here.
here. And also in the spirit of that, getting together in real life,
Yes.
connection, making a
Oh.
comeback, that feeling seen like not only I'm here for you. Like,
For you.
yeah,
Yeah.
let me
And it comes,
remind you.
yeah, being around other people and going out and connecting. And you still see moments like when you're at like brunch or something and everybody's looking down at their phone and we'll be like, okay, everybody put their phone down. You know, at our happy hour site, we were saying something and I said, you know, let's stop. We were all talking about the everything that's happening in DC. Federal government's a very big deal here. And I was like, I would like to talk about something else. I would like the room to talk about something else. And so I started saying, like, what is, because I'm like, I'm getting there. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start getting really angry again, and I have to drive home, and I don't want to road rage somebody. So I'm like, let's just do this. Let's do this. Let's
The
talk
playlist I'm
about.
looking for
I'm
my
like,
drive
hey, what's
home.
your favorite guilty pleasure right now? I'm like, go with
Yeah.
that. And like,
And
you know,
that's the
like
beauty of you. You aren't like shutting
that.
this conversation down. You're like, let me give you 19 new topics about to get us
Yeah.
all
I mean,
going.
if you have a big personality, that is one thing you can't. I'm like, I will control the conversation in this room if I need to. Like,
But
don't
thank
make
you
me
for
treat you
being up.
bad.
You
Yeah,
don't
don't make me treat you
treat
bad.
you bad. I love that you can change the
Oh.
subject. This sort of, I feel like I'm always asking the downer questions. Have you ever
Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it.
been close to burnout?
Oh, yeah.
And
100%.
how did you handle that?
Not well. the first time. What usually happens is I'm better at it now. The first time it was really beyond my control. I didn't, well, both times it was beyond my control, but I will go until I physically shut down. And I was home 1 year at Christmas and I sat on the couch in my mom's house in my pajamas until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't, the TV was on, but I was just sitting there. And I think, you know, and Jordan, you know, my mom, that shit doesn't fly. Like, you know, you're wasting daylight. Get up, get
To
dressed, get moving. What are you
participate in
doing?
your life.
And she left me alone the whole day. She's like, you look like you were broken. Like, I look like I
Broke
just, I
you.
was vacant. I was completely vacant. and just shut down. And I'm like, I can't function right now. I couldn't, I was scared to drive. Like, I have that kind of a thing. I got better at the boundaries and things like that. And then, Jordan, when I came out to visit you, the time for that vacation, and I'd had 6 trials in 4 months, which I did not schedule, but I had to do that schedule. And I made it. I made that gauntlet and I flew out. The final trial ended on July 15th. July 16th was my birthday. I flew to Colorado and I had a guy, a lawyer, call me and he goes, are you? I said, I'm going on vacation. I need to go on vacation. I'm going on vacation for a week. And I said, I fly out tomorrow. I'm going to be at the Denver airport for a layover here. Then he goes, oh, I'll call you during the layover. And I'm like, my dude, I just said I can't,
No.
but I did talk to him. I got
Vacation
that client
time.
and I got that client. It's a good settlement, so it's fine. But I sat at your house and Jordan, she's like, I didn't plan anything for you. I'm so sorry. And I'm like,
That's
no,
a me
thank
move.
God. I'm like, I don't. And I would get up every morning and I kind of like reclaimed myself there because I got up every morning. I would make coffee. I would sit on that deck, his deck, watch the sun come over that valley. I would listen to Norah Jones for my first cup of coffee. And then I went and got a second cup of coffee and I sat up there and I read this amazing book, Little and Often. By, I can't think of the guy's name right now, Trent.
Right in the hall, I know. I'm
It'll come to
it'll
us
come
for
to me.
It'll come to me. It's an amazing memoir. I read that book in 3 days, and I read it in 3 days because it was so good. I put it down because I would have finished it in two, but I wanted it to last. And I haven't had that experience with the book in a very long time. But I that whole week, and that's all I did. I opened up my laptop one time for 10 minutes to check my flight and just to make sure that the office hadn't burned down. And then that was it. And I came back. Totally, but that was it. Like, I couldn't do anything. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. And I usually, I want to do all the things. And I got back and I thought, man, I survived that. That's so amazing. Like, I did that. I was so great. And 2 weeks later, I got shingles. And then Mary and I had, I'm like, what the hell? What happened? And she's like, well, I said, I made it. I got through vacation. And she said, sometimes your body, when it finally lets down, that's when it hits you. And I was like, I was driving back to a doctor's appointment on that. And it was the Alabama Shakes. I see music is always in my head. Alabama Shakes song. And the lyric was, I don't want to work myself to death. And I burst into tears in the car. And I was like, I don't want to work myself to death anymore. That's not, I don't want that. And since that time, and it was already pandemic. So we were already isolated. And then to be what felt like you had the plague and further isolated for 2 weeks. I mean, I was horizontal for 2 weeks. It's the first time I'd ever lost that much work, ever, time at work, ever in my life. And so now I am controlling my schedule. And I'm like, no. And it's also because you have these moments of when you are high achieving and you like that feeling, I'm motivated by sparkly things. Like I want another line on my CV. I want, all the different things that I'm now saying to myself, I'm like, who are you trying to impress by doing this? Like, you could teach another class and do this, but it will kill you.
Right.
And so, and for what? For something on your resume? Well, who are you interviewing with? Like, where do you think, who are you trying to impress? Like,
Right.
I'm good. I'm good where I am.
You
So
have arrived. You have
I have
arrived.
gotten better. I've gotten much better at that. But in the past, I did not do well at that.
You brought up our girl, Brené Brown, and doesn't she have the ring spin on how
Yeah.
to make that decision? Am I going to teach
Yeah.
another class? Am I not? What's
Yeah.
your technique for this? Is a yay? Is it gut? Like, how do you know I'm in or I'm not?
Because I actually effectively run two law firms because I have my own law firm, and then I run the clinic, which is essentially a law firm. I have help with the students during the academic year, but not year round. For me now, a thing is, it's not, am I going to be good at it? Because I do feel now that, like, if they're asking me to do it, they think I'm going to be good at it, so I'll accept that. But is it going to be fun? Am I going to learn something out of it that's new? But more importantly, is it going to hurt my clients or my friends if I take on another thing? In other words, is it going to hurt my relationships
What are the
either with my
sacrifices?
clients or right? Because it's always up and down, right? There's never if there's no work-life balance. It's if you can integrate it, you're 1,000 miles ahead. But that's hard to do, and things suffer, when you go. So I make that's what I kind of go through. It's much more of an, I get way more in my head now than in my heart because I know that my heart's going to want to be like, yes, especially
I got
it's like, you
this.
know,
Of
disability
course.
rights law. Yes, oh my God, I'll teach that class again. Like, and
Those
the
are all
principal's
my
like,
words.
can you, professor, will you teach that class again? We really want to take that class. And I'm like, ah, no.
So would you say the mindset is, would you say like just that nurturing of the self, your health, like what's the,
Absolutely.
I love
It all goes
the
in.
mindset of I want to learn something if I'm going to take
I want to
this.
learn something new. Yeah, I love learning things. I mean, that, you know, I joke about taking fence. I wanted to take fencing since I was a kid, though, just because pirate. So there you go. Like,
Yeah.
pirate mode.
Because
I
you know,
like it.
great
I'm like, well,
pirate
that's cool.
cool stuff.
But I take classes, you know, in my break, like in summer, usually just because I miss school. I love school, but I take classes because I feel like my brain starts to atrophy and I want to learn something new. I want to engage my brain in other ways. And I think that ultimately makes me a better lawyer because when that part of my brain can disengage for a minute, then things come up to me and I'm like, I'll be in the middle of something. I'm like, oh, that's the answer on that brief, or that's the answer to that question. So, you know, I took woodworking, I've taken language classes, wine, which is the thing. Now, the level, you know, the WSET wine classes that I've been taking, like learning something new for me is really important. And I've done that my whole life, taking a new class and just trying to learn something new.
Love that.
Yeah. I love her. Her cutting boards were truly amazing. And so, yeah, the cheese boards engraved. Shit, can I
I made
wrap
my
it
dining
up?
table. I mean, it's cool. I made
Let
my
me
dining
ask one
table.
more question and then we'll go rapid
Yeah,
fire if
that's
that's
great.
cool.
Okay. Yep.
I'm curious, as a big feeler, and we're talking about sort of this empathy, compassion, resistance, exhaustion, what advice would you have for that 5-year-old who's maybe toting a briefcase like you were?
Oh, I love it.
Don't let anybody give you any shit about it. Be you. Like, it's okay to feel those feelings and it's okay to fight for people. In fact, I think it's critical to fight for people, but make sure you're taking care of yourself as well and be open to influence from other people, right? Like, you know, you can't do everything. One of the best lessons that I did learn from one of my friends was that you're actually not that important. In the scheme of the, in the cause, there are other people that can step up and do things. It doesn't have to be you, because when you are, again, like high achieving, you're like super motivated and activated like that, you're like, well, they're not doing it. Well, then I'll just take it over. I'll just do it. I'll
Yep.
just do it because that's the thing. And this person said, he's like, do you think if you weren't there that none of this would actually get done? And I said, no, it won't. And he said, well, then maybe that organization shouldn't be going on. Like, if they can't get their infrastructure together enough that it doesn't survive one person, then maybe it shouldn't. And that, you know, that kind of a thing is, I think, absolutely critical to learn for that 5-year-old.
Right.
You know, definitely fight, you know, stand up for people. It feels good. It feels scary sometimes, but, you know, it's the best thing you'll ever do. But also, like, you know, you don't have to do it all. And other people, and, you know, the quote behind me, fight for the things you care about, but do it in a way that has other people, like, it out of the way, that lead other people to join you. Like,
Yep.
you don't have to
Get
do it
those.
all if you recruit other people into the good cause, you
Right.
know, activate other activists and stuff. But, you know, learn and don't let people. I think a lot of times kids are treated like, you know, you're a kid, you don't understand. And kids feel things. Kids are way aware of all of the things that, you know, that we think they're not. And so I think engaging with kids about what's going on in the world, you know, in a way that's still healthy is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but being honest with the kiddos,
I
please.
love rapid fire. You ready for this, Renee?
It's
We've
ready
got
for it.
about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Jordan's gonna just come at you with questions.
Oh, feel so powerful in this moment. Ooh, this one seems give goofy, but I think I want to start with a softball here. All right, I'm getting ready. So do you have a celebrity crush?
Ooh, I like
Listen,
that.
Pink.
Ah,
If I
I
were
mean,
on that
come
team, it
on.
would 100% be Pink. Yeah.
Ooh, and so that is best concert experience of all time was Pink, correct?
You know, I've seen some really. I also saw Paul McCartney twice and Elton John twice. Like, there's some good. She's on par. But yeah, that moment was a singular moment in the rain in
In the
DC with
rain.
the end of all time storm. In that moment of singing that song, I Am Here in the front, and just you just with it was just an incredible moment. Yeah, that was probably the best. I mean, but you know, Paul McCartney's seen him twice. It was amazing. He's a Beatle. He's
You're too
awesome.
much of a music head to pick
I
one.
yeah, I know it's
I
hard. Like, I
can't
can't
do
pick one
that.
movie.
Well
I can't pick one
played.
group.
If you
Yeah.
could spend 6 months living somewhere else, where would it be?
Portugal.
Ooh.
Knew that right off the bat.
Hesitation.
What about
Portugal.
love it? Two favorite things about yourself? I'll go. I got
I know. That was one of my things I had to do. Was like, say three nice things about yourself. Say things about myself. I'm funny. I like my sense of humor. I like my brain, how my brain works. I'm funny like that.
I like how your
If
brain
you
works.
didn't say we were
Yes.
going to.
Yes. I love when you told me I had to say one nice thing to myself every day, and I can't keep using my great hair. That was out of your mouth. You're like, I can't just go back that
I
fabulous.
get about it. I'm like, I get it. I'm like, I have good hair. If PM says I have good hair, I'll accept it. I have good hair.
All
All right.
right. First pet or favorite pet?
Oh, first pet was, I'm sure it was a dog. Gentry's Joy, but a registered Australian Blue Heeler. But that was my first pet. Favorite pet was probably my lab charcoal.
Oh,
Charcoal.
Black lab named Charcoal.
I like it.
Well, growing up on the farm, do you have a best like childhood memory out there? One that comes to mind?
Oh, you had the puppies?
I feel like that's
We had three dogs that all had puppies at the same time. So there were 42 puppies on the farm. And
Wow.
I would just like lay in the yard and puppies would just run all over me. It was like little kid heaven. And I had gotten a golf cart from my dad for Christmas, like this old used golf cart he found at some, farm sale auction, something. And I would get all 42 puppies up in the golf cart and we'd drive around the farm and I'd show them the farm and all the different things and stuff like that. And so
Little
it was like,
Professor Gentry and
yeah, oh
your
yeah. We had
slew
all
of
the different
pups.
things, driving things around, taking care of my puppies. So yeah, that was a good
And what do
memory.
you think my answer would be to your favorite pet? Would it
Oh,
be a
my
duck?
duck. My duck named Jackson 5. Yes.
Has one duck as a pet and
Named
names it
Jackson.
Jackson Five? That's the
I was a
funniest
big
thing I've ever
Motown
told them
fan,
once.
so yeah, I had another dog named Smokey Robinson. I was a big Motown fan,
Smokey
so
Robinson?
yeah,
Oh,
that's
that's
awesome.
awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, my duck, the duck Jackson 5.
Do you have a
Doug, we said Jackson
phobia? I'm
5.
kind of curious about that. Do you have a phobia?
Of sharks? How do you not know that?
You're scared.
Sharks. I'm terrified of sharks.
She sure is.
So my
We've been on some
sister,
adventures together.
yes.
It's come
My
up.
sister is 6 years older than me, and I would say this, they lied to our mother about what movie she was going to go see. And my mom said, "Take your little sister with you." And I saw Jaws in the theater when I was like 6 or 7. And because my sister was 6 years older than me and way cooler, I had to sit at the end of the row by myself. So I
Could
am
sit with
absolutely
you.
terrified of sharks. And I'm like, we grew up in Missouri, like, landlocked, but I'm like, sharks. I stopped taking baths. I was like, I'll take a shower. That's no problem. I
Taking.
wouldn't go swimming. I wouldn't do any. And but again, the nerd in me like fully kicked in, and I started learning everything about sharks. And I would say that I'm in fact a shark conservationist now. I just merely yield the ocean to them. I am not good. I will to this
Respect
day.
their domain.
I was professional courtesy, right? Sharks. I'm like, I would go into my knee, and that's it, because most shark attacks occur in 3 feet of water. I was a nerd kid, and if I was scared of something, I was going to learn everything about it.
That's so
I learned
cool.
about snakes. I learned about sharks. Yeah.
I love it. Vicarious trauma meets sister bonding. It's just precious.
Exactly.
That's some precious
Exactly.
moments.
She's like, I don't think it was that bad. And I'm like, whatever. You were watching the movie. And I'm not somebody, I don't like scary. I'm not somebody that can close my eyes. I'm like recording for later playback. Like, that was my thing. Like, I'll have that. I can
haunt
redo that
me
whole movie in
for
my brain
months.
now. Yeah.
So we have to wrap up, but I'm curious. When you're in a down spot, what do you tell yourself or what goes on in your brain that reinstills the hope and that drive to make change possible?
There's not a single thing. I think it's a bunch of little things, and you pull from a bunch of things. It could be a song. It could be, after the election, I was in a down spot, and there were a bunch of different things. And it was, quotes from a post that Roseanne Cash had on Instagram where she said, we can build a firewall. It was just like the I am words are power to me, and words are very powerful. And so it's usually going to be something in words or that I'm listening to or that I'm reading. There was a clip from James Baldwin where he said, "You can't live in despair. How do you look into the eyes of a child and say there's no hope?" I have nephews and I have great nephews and great nieces and I've got god kids and you can't stay in that spot. So it's something funny. Like we went to a vineyard the other day and the tasting room manager had her 9-month-old and that baby was straight out of central casting. That was the cutest baby. And my friend was like, she's like, that baby just healed my soul. Like right there. Like this is the best thing. We don't even need to taste wine. Like this is the best thing. So I don't think it's any one thing. I think you have to have things. I mean, I have right now on my desk that I have, which I can see every day that I got over Labor Day weekend. If you can read this, it says, "Better to grow the light than fight the dark."
Love it.
Bingo.
So I have words behind me, words, inspirational words all around me. I have my vision board that Jordan made me make over here that I can
I
see
make
every
no
day.
plans except for praying.
I have a cool piece of art from this company called Soundwaves, which they take song lyrics and do them in Soundwaves, and it's signed by Sheryl Crow. And the lyric is, "If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, why the hell are you so sad?" Like just to like remind yourself. So words are very powerful to me. But
Nice.
it can be any kind of word. It can be just hearing a song or a kid laugh. I mean, there's a lot of things that'll bring me back out. Oh,
Nice.
so
Hope.
I'll call my
You
nephew and be
provide
like,
my
"Hey, can you
hope.
put Jillian on the phone, or
Yes.
Louie on the phone, or I call Aaron and like, can you put Jack on the phone, or Scott, like somebody talk to me about something." It's like, what was the crazy thing that happened in third grade today?
Right.
Oh, it's the
And I'm
best.
like, that's real drama right
Yeah.
there. Like, we need to
Perspective
get there.
change. So
Perspective change, yeah.
powerful. Yeah. Well, this has been absolutely awesome. You are a force. Thank you
Yes,
so much for being
a
here.
unicorn of hope and drive and joy, and I am so lucky to know you like this. You
I
are.
am so lucky to know you two like this. Like I said, I've been really enjoying the podcast. It's been amazing. And
Thank
I am wishing
you.
you all of the joys.
Well, thank you for helping us make it even stronger.
We appreciate you. I hope, yeah, you have the best day. You have supercharged us.
Yeah. I'm JT. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
And I'm
You
Jordan.
got to do one, Renee.
I'm Renee J. Woo!
Yeah.
Be brave, beautiful friend.
Brave. Be brave.